Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Hey everyone, my name is Daniel. I want to thank you for tuning in today. I know times are tough right now, but I do want to wish everyone a happy Easter. I want to let you know that we are praying for you, that you will experience God's peace and wisdom and provision during this time. If you're tuning in today and you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, I want to thank you for joining us. It's such an honor for us to have you here. It really is. Can I encourage you to have an open mind today? I won't be able to answer all of your questions in 15 minutes, but I can lead you to some resources that will help you. If you're unsure about the events surrounding Easter, for example, if you want to know if Jesus really rose from the dead, I want to encourage you to read one of my favorite authors. His name is Lee Strobel. He's super smart. He has a master's degree in law from Yale Law School. He's a former atheist, and he's also an investigative journalist, I think for the Chicago Tribune, if I'm not mistaken. He's written so many books that most probably will answer most, if not all of your questions about Jesus and the resurrection, because most probably your questions used to be his questions too. So anyway, in one of his books, The Case for Hope, he told the story of Rick Warren, a pastor and the author of the wildly popular book, The Purpose-Driven Life, which I highly recommend too, by the way. Anyway, Rick and his wife Kay, several years ago, went through a devastating loss when their 27-year-old son, Matthew, took his own life after battling depression and mental illness for years. Can you imagine losing your son? I have a 14-year-old son myself, and I really can't imagine how I would feel if I were to lose him. Anyway, about a year after this tragedy, Rick said, "I've often been asked, how have you made it? How have you kept going in your pain, in your darkness?" And then he said, "The answer is Easter." You see, the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ happened over 3 days. Friday was the day of suffering and pain and darkness and death. And Saturday, the second day, was the day of doubt and confusion, especially for the disciples of Jesus. But the third day, Easter, that Sunday, was the day of hope and joy and victory. So here's the fact of life. I want you to listen because this is good. This is worth tuning in for today. And the sooner you know this, the better off you will be. You see, in life, you will face these 3 days over and over and over again in your lifetime. And when you do, you need to ask yourself these three fundamental questions. Number one, what do I do in my Fridays, in my days of pain, in my days of darkness? And two, how do I get through my Saturdays, my days of doubt and fear and confusion? And three, how do I get to Sundays, the days of hope and joy and victory? The answer is Easter. Why Easter? Let me explain. But before that, let me just backtrack a little bit. If there's one word that best describes what everyone feels right now, it would be the word darkness, I think. And if there's one word that best describes what everyone needs right now, it would be the word hope. That's why I'm calling today's message, How to Have Hope When All You See Is Darkness. You see, many people feel like they're in the dark right now. They're not sure about anything anymore. They're not sure when all this craziness will finally be over. They want to believe that there's light at the end of the tunnel, but it's impossible to know when or how they will come out on the other side. I don't know that, and I don't think you know that. That's why we all need hope. Seriously, I can't think of a time in recent memory where there was a bigger need for hope. Can you? Every country is reeling right now. This crisis that we're in are starting to be in full swing right now. Businesses are being forced to shut down. Unemployment rates are through the roof. Someone told me yesterday that there's been a sharp increase in domestic abuse now due to the lockdown. So what do we do? How do we have hope during a time like this? How do you have hope when all around you, all you can see is darkness? I don't know if you remember, but a few years ago, there was a movie called The 33. It's a great movie. It's a movie based on a true story about 33 Chilean miners who were trapped in a chamber 2,000 feet underground, not for one day or 2 days, but for over 2 months. No one knew if they were going to survive. One by one, they started losing hope, but one person would not give up hope. His name is Ariel Tikona. His wife was pregnant with their first child, a little girl, and they were going to name her Carolina. But when Ariel heard his wife had given birth, he managed to send a message from literally the pit of the darkness. And then he said, "Tell her to change the name of our daughter to Esperanza." And if you speak Spanish, you would know that Esperanza means hope. Here's an actual photograph of baby Esperanza next to her mother while her dad was still trapped underground. This baby that he's never seen was what Ariel was clinging onto in the darkness, the hope of finally seeing his baby girl, Esperanza. And guess what? After 68 days in the darkness, hope broke through and all the miners were finally saved. Can I encourage you who feel that you are trapped in the darkness right now? Some of you who are trapped in financial darkness, you lost your jobs, your businesses are suffering. Some of you are in marital darkness. You're struggling with your marriage right now, and the crisis that we're in just makes it even worse. Others of you are in mental, emotional darkness. You're going crazy, and you're not sure how long more you can keep it together. Well, whatever darkness that you're in, I believe God sent me here today to let you know that He wants to give you hope. And that hope has a name, and His name is Jesus. Do you know that Jesus knows what you're going through right now? I mean, He's been in darkness too. This whole week leading to Easter was the darkest week in His life. His own friend Peter denied knowing Him. His other trusted friend Judas betrayed Him for money. The Roman soldiers beat Him, mocked Him, spat on Him, finally crucified Him on the cross where He died. And as they watched Jesus breathing His last breath, all the disciples' hopes die with Him. Can you imagine how the disciples must have felt? The fear, the confusion, the darkness that they're suddenly in? They were so certain Jesus was the one sent by God that they put all their eggs in one basket, in Jesus. Jesus was their hope, their Esperanza, because they've seen what Jesus could do. He calmed the storm, He healed the sick, He raised the dead to life. So when Jesus died, all their hopes died with Him. They thought, this is it. If they could kill Jesus, that means there's no more hope for them. There's no more hope for humanity. It's all dark now. But then Sunday came. That first Easter morning, the ground began to tremble. The tomb started to shake, and then suddenly darkness could not hold Him. Jesus was alive. And you know, Jesus performed many miracles in His lifetime, calming the storm, healing the sick, turning water into wine. But do you know where He performed His best miracle? He performed His best miracle in the dark, in the tomb. So once again, can I encourage you? If you're in the dark right now, for any reason, don't lose hope. Our hope is not dead. Our hope is still alive. His name is Jesus. And right now, even as we speak, our hope is interceding for us on our behalf to God. So don't lose hope. Like I said last week, the coronavirus is not from God. If you missed it, you can still watch it here. But even though the virus is not from God, He could use it to make something good out of it. So the question is, what good could possibly come from all this darkness? You know, only a few months ago, a lot of people, they felt like they were on pretty solid ground. Now, they find themselves in circumstances that they never, ever would have predicted before. Now people are feeling anxious. They have pressures that they may never have before. Now, many people probably regret some of the decisions that they made over the last few months. And they probably wonder where things will stand a few months from now. They don't know the answer to that question. Nobody ever, ever wants a difficult season to come to their lives. But when difficult seasons do come, they have a way of making you ask questions. And today, I want us to ask this very important question, especially during this season. What is my life's foundation? Am I building my life on a foundation so fragile that unforeseen circumstances can easily take it away? That's a good question, isn't it? Am I building my life on a foundation so fragile that circumstances beyond my control can easily take it away? Let me ask you, what's your foundation? You see, for a lot of people, their foundation is their career, their talents, their wealth, their riches. They think if they have enough money in the bank, enough investment that yields high return, then no one can touch them. If this is you, listen to this very powerful parable from Jesus. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry." In other words, I've built a good, strong foundation for my life. I have plenty of grain laid up for many years. I'm set for life. But God said to him, "You fool. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" Again, let me ask you, what's your foundation in life? Is it your health? Maybe you pride yourself in taking care of your body, you exercise, you watch what you eat vitamins, supplements, as you should. I'm not saying you shouldn't take care of your body. You definitely should. But I'm asking, are you making your health the foundation, the end-all and be-all for your life? Because if you do, that's a shaky foundation. Because no matter how well you take care of your body, our bodies are dying. Average lifespan, if you're healthy, is about 70, 80 years. And if you have a few extra years, maybe you live up to 100. It's still a short time when you compare it to eternity, which is where we all will be after our lives on earth is over. Making your health or your money to be the foundation for your life is shaky at best. The corona pandemic reminds us of that. That's why I've been so looking forward to Easter. Because Easter is a time when we remember Jesus, the only hope capable of sustaining a human life through everything, even death, including death. You know, almost everyone fears the coronavirus right now. But do you know what we need to fear even more than COVID-19? It's another virus. This virus is so much more powerful and has caused a global pandemic since the beginning of time. I'm talking about the sin virus. Now, it's funny how when we talk about sin, we are so quick to justify ourselves. We think of sin as something really, really bad that people do, like robbing a bank or killing people. We don't think of pride, for example, as sin, or telling a white lie, or speeding, or envy, or lust, or anger, or gluttony as sin, but they are. Paul said in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." It's a pandemic, for all have sinned. But no one cares about this virus, even though this virus literally has killed billions and billions of people. Because Paul said, "For the wages of sin," or the effect of sin, "is death." That is why Jesus came. Jesus is the vaccine for this virus of sin. His death literally pays for the sins of the world. Listen to what the Apostle John said. "And Christ Himself is the means or the vaccine by which our sins, our virus, are forgiven or healed. And not only our sins only, but also the sins of everyone." That's powerful, isn't it? So for those living in darkness right now, whether it's relationship darkness, financial darkness, mental darkness, think with me for a little bit here. Maybe you think you've lost all hope right now. You don't know how you're going to get out of this one. Well, listen to me. I'm not making light of your situation at all, but I'm here to remind you again that Jesus knows exactly what you're going through. He's gone through what you are going through right now. I really believe God will get you through this. How do I know? Because He's done the most difficult thing for us already. What we needed freedom more than anything from, more than our financial, social, or relational darkness, our sin darkness has been dealt with at the cross. Then how much more will Christ get us through this situation that we are in right now? If He has already dealt with our sin, the biggest problem that we have, the rest is nothing to Him. The rest is too easy for Him. Now, how do I know that Jesus is good for this? You know, when you lend money to someone and someone or this person said, "I'll pay you back. You know I'm good for it." How do you know that? How do you know if that person is good for it? How do I know that Jesus is really who He says He is? Now, listen to what Peter wrote to the church. This is our final verse, our main verse for the day. Such a powerful verse, packed with meaning. So I want you to look at this with me. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Notice, you can almost sense the joy in what Peter said here. Peter said, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Why? Why are you so happy, Peter? Because in His great mercy, that means we don't deserve it, He has given us new birth. We were dead in our sins, but He's given us a new life, a new birth into a living hope. Not a dead hope that's without basis. That's what we followers of Jesus Christ has, a living hope. And how do we get this living hope? How can we be sure of it? This is why Easter is so important. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus assures us that Jesus is good for all His promises. No one in history has ever done that before. No one. So if you're not sure if the resurrection was real, go check it out, like Lee Strobel did. Go investigate and let us know how we can help you in that. Because Jesus defeated death. Jesus is our living hope, and our living hope has forgiven us. Our living hope is with us through the darkest valley. Our living hope is preparing a place for us in heaven so we can spend eternity with God. And that is why I love Easter. That's why I became a pastor, because I want as many people as possible to know this good news of the living hope that we have in Jesus. Listen, if you're not a Christ follower, I want to let you know that Jesus did not come to the world to condemn you. If anything, it's the exact opposite. He took our condemnation because of our own sins to the cross where He died. Jesus came to forgive you of your sins. He paid for them with His own blood at the cross. He wants to give you eternal life for free. All you need to do is to trust Him. And we want to help you in that journey. I want to pray for you. But before that, Renee will sing this beautiful song by Lauren Daigle called "How Can It Be?" Now, this song talks about how even though we are not deserving of Jesus' love, He still gave His life for us because of His grace. And as Renee sings this song, we've asked some people to share their testimonies of what they're going through and some of the hardships that they're facing in this season. But they'll also be sharing the faith that they have despite the situation that they're in. How can it be, you ask? Because of the living hope we can find in Jesus. Let's pay attention and be blessed.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.